Okay. Today is November the 9th, 2007, and I am here with Philip Harrison in the city of Berea, and we are in his wife's art and antique gallery to do this interview. So, Mr. Harrison, I understand that you served in the Army.
Yes.
During World War II?
Right.
Can you tell me about your experiences? And were you drafted and enlisted?
I was drafted. I graduated from Berea College and worked with the Foreign Security Administration for 1 year after my graduation. And I got a deferment to work for that 1 year. And then in June of 42, I was inducted into the Army.
Okay. And who did you say that, why did you say you got a deferment?
Because I was involved in agriculture production, and we were trying to increase food production.
Okay. Okay. So once you were inducted, just tell me about your training and where you were stationed.
I went to Cincinnati, stayed overnight at Cincinnati, and then we rode what we call, we meaning the other inductees, a cattle car. We rode a train, but it had slats on it, and we was pretty well packed in there, and they didn't tell us where we was going, but I guess it was going through West Virginia because of the mountains.
Huh.
And sure enough, we ended up in Fort Eustis, Virginia.
How many times? Yeah. Did you do your basic training there?
I did basic training 13 weeks in Fort Eustis.
13 weeks.
It was very hot. Mosquitoes seem like the size of horseflies, if you know what a horsefly
is.
Yes, I do. And we slept on the nets.
Huh. And this was the Army?
Yes.
Okay. From there, where'd you go?
Well, at the end of the 13 weeks, I applied and qualified for officer training, and I was destined to go to officer training, but, you know, to complete my qualification, I had to have another physical exam, and it turned out I had either during that 13 weeks or previously without being detected, supposedly contacted TB. I had a spot on my lung. I had no ill feelings and felt comfortable, but the doctor said I did have a spot on my lung. And they said, well, we're going to send you home next week. That was in, early September. And I was still, and they assigned me temporarily to a hospital unit with no chores, nothing to do except eat and sleep.
Yeah.
So I had made it from that standpoint. But I ended up staying there up until early November. Sometime in early November, the first sergeant called me in and said, Harrison, you want to go home? I said, yeah, but how about my unit, my clothes and my equipment? He said, well, if I was you, I wouldn't ask about that. I'd go home and then ask about that. And I said, well, maybe you're right. So sure enough, I did. I did get my GI issue a couple months later, and they gave me a honorable discharge and sent me home with a medical discharge.
So,
I suspect the reason they got me out real quickly when they finally decided to send me home was because that was just a few days or at least a few weeks before the D-Day. And I think they was evacuating the hospital to make preparation for casualties.
Okay. So, were you disappointed or pleased that you...
I had mixed emotions. I had looked forward to being an officer, but I hadn't looked forward to looking down the barrel of a rifle at some enemy either, so I had mixed emotions, both good and bad.
Yeah. Feeling cheated in one way and yet blessed in another?
Yes. I guess in the long run it turned out to be a real blessing, probably.
Yeah. So, as a college graduate, were you automatically qualified as an officer?
No, I had to fill out an application and go through some routine.
Okay. Okay. Did you have siblings that served?
Yes, I did, but I was the first one to go in. They had not been inducted then at that time. Okay. I'm the oldest one of the family, so okay. I was the first one to go in.
Okay. But did you have brothers then that served?
I had one brother.
That served at World War II?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what were your feelings with him in the war?
Well, I guess I had mixed emotions about him going in too, mostly because of the possibility of not being able to come home.
What were the times like in society while that war was going on and you were
here? Well, this was not many years after the Depression, and people was very conservative in spending their money, and we didn't know what television was, we didn't know what computers was, and generally speaking, people were very conservative in their views and spending their money and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that most people were very supportive of the war effort?
Yes, I did find that.
Okay, and did most people you knew have somebody, you know, a loved one in the service and overseas?
Most people had someone connected with the family, either directly or indirectly, in the service, and most of them eventually went overseas.
Mm-hmm. How did you stay up with the news of the war?
Well, I didn't. We didn't. All we knew is what the staff told us, and they didn't tell us very much information.
Okay. But civilian, was it radio, newspaper?
Newspaper and radio.
Okay.
And I also kind of, in the Army in the first 13 weeks, you don't ask questions, you keep your mouth shut. I volunteered when I first got there for one job, and that gave me a real good lesson. The first sergeant told us, said, if some of you fellas feel like dancing this weekend, we're going to have a dance down at the office club. And it was pretty dull there, so I thought that sounded like a pretty good idea. So I put my hand up along with 10 or 15 others, and the old first sergeant kind of grunted. He said, well, okay, you fellas, your hands up. Said, those wheelbarrows out there and those about big pile of rock. Said, you get all those moved by the weekend. We'll talk to you about officers dance, but there was no officers dance ever offered to me other than that way. So that taught me not to volunteer for anything in the service.
Quick learner. Are there other interesting stories about your time?
Well, yes. Even when the night we were spending in Cincinnati before we boarded the train, we had some people that was very depressed. I know one fellow, his name is Bordes. He's a big, tall fellow, 6'2" probably, weighed probably 225 pounds, and he cried all night long just like a baby. And I don't know if it's real or if he's putting on, but anyhow, they sent him home 2 days later before they ever sent him to Fort Lewis.
Huh.
So I always wondered if he was really truly that emotional, or if he was just putting on an act. But in there, he was very convincing because he cried all night long.
Wow. Huh. What type of training did they put you through?
Running and jumping, and using guns, rifle range, that sort of thing. And this is in June and July. It was really hot, and I've seen several. I've seen several other people in my unit pass out from heat stroke. And the treatment was that they put them on a cot, turned the garden hose on them. They all survived, but seemed like it'd be pretty much a shock to me.
That was their way of cooling them down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything else you would like to add to this?
Well, when I look back, and I never had any, of course, checked with my family doctor when I got home about the TB, and he confirmed from a blood test that I did test positive for it. So they say I never had any pain. I did spend 2 years bed rest, and I never had any problems since then.
This was the days before they had drugs for,
yes,
and it was just more isolation.
Yes, and rest.
And rest. Right. Well, you certainly are very healthy today, and the fact that you still are out there doing farmers market, I find fascinating. And so you've obviously led a good life on that. And I appreciate your time here today, and thank you very much.
I appreciate talking to you.